the four questions, Manishnana.
Isn't it really one question with four cases?
This comes after Karpas. Let's see if we can review some of the points over here in terms of the Seder, the order. I gave a class last night to the women of Plainview, and the whole idea was simply to try and follow the thread of the Haggadah, because it's supposed to be Seder, but superficially everything seems to be totally disjointed. And you're just going from one thing to another thing, paragraphs, you have no idea what you're doing. So that's what I think we should focus on, to have an overview, the framework of the Haggadah. That's what we're going to try and accomplish. I want to quote from the... There's a need to have an orientation, to understand the outline of the Seder, the categories, especially in the second section, the second coast, which is Magid. That's the real challenge of the night. The rest of it, the first coast is easy, it's just Kiddush. The third coast is Birkas HaMazon. The fourth one is Hallel. It's rather simple. It's not broken down into different components. However, the second one, in which you fulfill the basic mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, is broken down into components. And if you're not, it doesn't tell you that. There's no demarcations. So if you're not aware of what it is you're doing, what you're involved in, you're just reading the passages that fulfill that obligation, you're not going to be able to partake of it. I just want to quote to you from the introduction of the Malbim Haggadah, where he lists a bunch of questions, and he says, these questions and many others paint the picture of a jumbled text compiled in no meaningful order. A clutter of unconnected paragraphs in confusing disarray. The lack of coherence glares at us so blatantly that we become accustomed to the confusion. And after just a few hours of it each year, we return the Haggadah to the shelves with faith that at least the person who put it together knew what he was talking about. Of course, it is inconceivable that one of the most important books of Jewish observance would follow no meticulous order, or at least no order which the ordinary reader could not discern, follow, and learn from. What is the order behind the Haggadah of Pesach, and what did our sages intend to teach with it? So you see, that's an important thing to know. Before you, and that the whole idea of the night is Seder. Seder is supposed to be an order, and it's not apparent on the surface what is the order of the night. And you have to study that. If you don't study that, if you don't have the framework, it's very difficult to really accomplish anything with the Haggadah. To the contrary, the Haggadah is going to throw you off. And instead of really discussing the story of the Exodus, you're going to be involved in all of these passages, reciting them and not really knowing what you're saying. The whole point of the evening is to know what you're saying. That's fine. All right. So the first thing that we do is Kiddush. That's pretty obvious. You have to make Kiddush first. The first cup is Kiddush. But the Kiddush this year is unique. All right, please. It's not just to sanctify the day. It also contains elements of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's the first of the four kosos. And it is Koveya the Seuda. So really the Seuda begins at this point. And as we've been saying, the Seuda on this night has a special significance. It's not just to celebrate the Yom Tov. It's really a vehicle of Sipur. All of the mitzvos are performed in the framework of the Seuda. And it's also an expression of Cheiros. It's also an expression of Hodah. So everything begins with the Seuda, which is initiated with Kiddush. So that's the first thing. Thus you can understand that Kiddush has to be Mimakom Seuda. And even though we don't wash until a lot of time has elapsed, we do a lot of other things, but that doesn't matter because that's part of the Seuda. Tonight, the Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is really part of the Seuda. It's an aspect of the Seuda. Okay. All right, the next thing you do is Karpas. What's the purpose of Karpas? I think everybody's familiar with the purpose of Karpas. And that's to do a Shinui. That's to do a Shinui. To make a change, to elicit the curiosity of the child. Thus, that's the educational philosophy, that you can't teach without curiosity. Now, the karpas consists of a number of things. The formalized karpas is the dip, the vegetable. However, then there's the okrinas ha-shulchan, removing the table, which nowadays really is expressed by moving the seder plate. Again, that's to arouse the question, because it appears as though you've finished eating and you're taking away the plate. That's really what you're enacting. You're doing something which is unusual. It doesn't make sense, so that the child should ask, why are we doing it? And the Rama mentions other changes, that a person has to use his ingenuity. It becomes very subjective now, that to arouse the curiosity of the children. What's next? Halach ma'anya. All right, the next thing we do is halach ma'anya. Well, first of all, you have yachatz. The breaking of the bread, of the matzah. And then you say halach ma'anya. Take a look at halach ma'anya. Halach ma'anya seems to be starting off by explaining the significance of the matzah, which is that's important. That was the mitzvahs halayla, not just technical performances, but they all broaden the theme of the enslavement and the Exodus. So that's important. However, here it's saying that the significance of the matzah is that our fathers ate it. It's the bread of affliction. Poor man's bread, the bread of slaves. Then we say, Kol dechvin yaseh v'yechol, that whoever is hungry should come and eat. That seems to be an invitation. Kol detzrich yaseh v'yifsach, whoever is in need, let him come and share the Pesach with us. Hashata hacha. See, it sounds like disjointed ideas. What does this have to do? It's nice thoughts, but what does it have to do with anything? What is the point over here? Then we say Hashat HaHacha, now we are here. Obviously this is from exile, because it's in Aramaic. L'Hashana Haba B'Arad Yisrael. Next year, may we be in the land of Israel. Hashat HaAvdei, now we are slaves. L'Hashana Haba B'nei Chorin. Now, in the year to come, may we be free. This is very, very contradictory. Yeah, you have to understand that. The whole idea of the night is chavos, that we're free. And that lois avaseinu b'levad, not just our fathers did God take out of Egypt, but he took us out of Egypt. And therefore, chayav adam liras esatzmo, kilu hu yatzim Yisrael. A person is obligated to view it as though he left Egypt, and that's why we eat basev, and we're free. So what are we saying? What are we saying over here? Hashat ha'avde. That seems to contradict everything. Another question, of course, refers to the matzah. What exactly is the idea of matzah? What's the reason for the matzah? Later on, when we explain it, matzah zushanu ochlim al shema, what's the purpose of the matzah? We say it's because of the symbol, it's a symbol of the redemption, that God appeared very quickly to us and we didn't have time. That's the idea, that the Jews had to leave in a hurry. They couldn't tarry. They couldn't wait for the bread to rise. So they had to bake it very quickly. So that's very good. It's an expression of the Geula. It's a symbol, so to speak, of Geula. But one second, now what are we saying? We're saying that this is the bread of affliction. That now that the matzah is a poor man's bread. That the slave doesn't, first of all, he doesn't have the leisure. He doesn't have the ingredients. So this is what he eats. He eats poor man's bread. So what is it? Is it poor man's bread, or is it the bread of Geula? See, then, what does that have to do with Kol Dechvin Yaseh V'Yechol?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with Kol Dechvin Yaseh V'Yifsach? What does one thing have to do with the other? If the point of this is to explain the significance of the matzah, that's fine. But what do you have? So, and what is the point of this? Is this a true invitation? Who are we talking to? I assume you're talking to the people in the at the table, and they've already been invited, and that's why they're there. So who are we inviting? The difference between Hashata... Okay. The fourth question is, what is the difference between Hashata Hacha, now we are here next year in the land of Israel, and now we are slaves, next year we should be free. What is the difference between those two things? And yet a fifth question would be, would this apply today? When we do have the land of Israel, is this something which was instituted when we didn't have access to the land of Israel? Or today, all right, we're not in Israel, but what about people living in Israel? Would they say the same things? Saying it, it's like, There's another problem, it seems to me. If you say Hashat HaHacha, now we are here. Next year, may we be in Israel. It's expressing a hope for a change in the situation that will enable you to be there. That's what it's expressing. But it seems to me that one could raise a question. If you say this today, it's phony. Because you have the opportunity to go there. So if you wanted to go there, you could be there. There's nothing that holds you back. So then what are you saying? You're acting as though I can't go there, and I'm praying that God will do something to let me go there. What do you mean? God gave it to you. It's back. So go there. You don't go there. If you don't go there, don't say it. With regard to the last 2 points, the restoration of Eretz Israel. And the question was that, it's what about today? It's been seemingly it's been restored. I think that it's really referring to something else. That is, we're taking cognizance of the state that we're in right now, vis-a-vis the whole event of the Exodus, of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Yetzias Mitzrayim was for a purpose, to establish a certain type of an entity, Klal Yisrael, and the way we are now is not the way it's supposed to be. This is an aberration. The Jewish people are supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael and supposed to be living a certain type of a life, fulfilling the Cheiros of the Torah. So the point that we're acknowledging, we have to tell the story from the standpoint of where we are right now. Are we in that situation that was intended for us, that was the objective and the goal, or not? You can't ignore that. You have to be cognizant of where you are right now. Right now, we're not in a state of Cheiros. That is, of course, we're B'nai Chorin in the sense that God redeemed us, not just from the particular enslavement of Egypt, but more significantly from the false way of life, from the idolatrous way of life, from the hedonistic way of life, and gave us the truth, gave us the Torah. But the extent to which we achieve the Cheiros of the Torah, that depends on how you live your life. That is, the opportunity is there. In that sense, we're B'nai Chorin, we have the opportunity. But whether we actualize it, or whether we deviate and we fail to achieve it, that's a different story. We're telling you from the perspective of a failure. There's a failure here. We're in exile. We're not supposed to be in exile. Thus, the idea is, and this is extremely important, because the whole key of telling the story is to apply it to your life, to emerge as a Ben Chorin. Cheiros. So therefore, you have to take cognizance of the situation that you're in, and we're looking forward to a restoration. The restoration that we're looking forward to basically is Yemos HaMashiach. And that's the tefillah. It's sort of a tefillah anyways. May we be. May the situation be restored the way it ought to be. And that entails, of course, the land, the way it ought to be. And therefore, today's situation is not necessarily the way it ought to be. It's a fortuitous to positive development, to the extent that, practically speaking, the Jews have control of not all of Eretz Israel, but parts of Eretz Israel. They have a government and so on and so forth. But that's not the ultimate restoration. We haven't achieved the ultimate restoration. That's what it really means, to be restored. Kimei olam uchshanim kadmonios. To have a different kind of situation in terms of the practical, political situation of Eretz Israel. And then B'nai Chorin, that we should be B'nai Chorin, that we should achieve a certain type of a lifestyle, a way of living, which expresses the Cheiros that the Torah was designated to achieve. That's the idea over here.
It will happen again.
Yeah. See, the matzah expresses ideas. So, of course, when it comes to Al Shema, in terms of the mitzvah of matzah, it's because the most significant idea of the matzah is that it's associated with the geula. That's true, but that doesn't contradict the fact that it's also associated with the avdus. And that is that you're telling the story, you're telling the history, and it begins with the avdus, and the matzah is the food, is the bread of avdus. It's not a contradiction that it be used for both. And in fact, you're going to be saying the Haggadah over the matzah. The matzah is uncovered. Because that's part of the idea, that when you that when you tell the story, it has to be in conjunction with the concrete objects that illustrate what you're saying. So now that you're about to embark on the Sipur, which begins with the Avdus, so you're explaining the significance of the of that that aspect of the matzah. And it's no contradiction that the very same object is a expression of the Avdus. It's also an expression of the Geula. Kol dechvin yesei v'yechol. That's an important halacha in general. That on Yom Tov, as the Rambam says, that you're chayev to invite those who don't have. That the whole simcha of Yom Tov has to incorporate inviting people that don't have a place. So that's important, even though you've already, you're sitting at the table now, and you're about to embark on the Seuda, well, that's important to remember this idea, to announce this idea. And just for your own knowledge, you have to review this idea, and it could be that when you say this, then other people there will think of some people that may not have. And it's not too late, you can go invite a person at that point in time. See, I would say over here is part of the Sipur. That is, it's true, it applies to every Yom Tov, but it's specific to the story because what emerges is a new unit. It's not just a personalized thing. That Judaism is not just a religion for individuals to live by, but there's the idea of Klal Yisrael. And this special relationship between all Jews, this special chiyuvim that applied to all Jews. The Rambam says, for example, that if a person is poresh midarchei tzibur, even though he doesn't do averos, even though he does the mitzvot, but he's a poresh, he does not... That is, a person can accept the Torah as a personal guide, how you want to live your life, but he doesn't have to identify with the Jewish people. He doesn't regard himself as a Jew in the sense that he's part of a unique people. And the Rambam says, like he suffers when he rejoices when they're happy. He suffers when they're in pain. The Rambam says a person like that, even though he doesn't do any averos, does not have a share in the world to come. So that's a fundamental denial. That is, that it's the will of God that there should be a unique type of a people. That is the vehicle of God's purpose in revealing the Torah for the entire world. By the way, that's the essence of the rishus of the Ben Russia. He's removes himself from the klal. He doesn't acknowledge this idea that there's a unique type of a people. So I think that's the middle idea, that you're going from the experience of the avdus, that God subjected us to a certain type of an experience because this is essential to a transformation. A transformation. This transformation leads to a unique type of an entity, the Jewish people, in which we have special responsibilities to care for each other and to do the mitzvot together. That's the other aspect. One is let him come and eat. You're concerned about his situation. Yeah. See, the obligation of chesed expresses itself in two ways. That's the middle part. I have it on tape years ago. It expresses itself in two ways. The fundamental glue of the Jewish people is chesed. That's Avraham Avinu. The chesed expresses itself in two ways. One is through providing people with the practical necessities. People are hungry. They need a place. That's the first thing. The second aspect of the chesed is to tend to the person's spiritual needs, to do the mitzvos. Whoever needs the Pesach, that come and join us and we'll do the mitzvos together. That's the second aspect of the connection with the Jewish people. Then we reflect upon the state of the Jewish people today. That's the framework. A person has an appreciation of what came about as a result of the Avdus and the Geula. But the Geula has not yet achieved its ultimate potential. That's the framework in which we're going to embark upon the story of the Avdus and the Cheres.